الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. Yesterday we discussed one further aspect. One was, in order to keep a perfect roza, to guard our tongue, to guard our eyes, the ears, the other limbs of the body, the hands, the legs, and also the organs, the heart, the mind. And then we discussed the fifth aspect, and that is about the roza of the stomach, and that is the food that we consume, in which Allah Ta'ala says we should eat halalan tayyiba. The food must be 100% halal, and in halal there are two aspects also. One is the food must be halal, one is the money that we buy the food with. That must be also halal money. Not just that we demand halal food, but the money we are buying with, the money is not halal. And there again, there are two things. If the money with which we are buying is not halal, then there is a possibility to rectify it. We correct our earnings, we make tawbah, we the people that we have wronged, we ask them for maaf. If we stole the money or we repay them, that haram becomes halal now. But if the food was haram, that can't be made into halal. So therefore it's very important, both these aspects must be correct. And tayyib, that it must be food in which there is no doubt. As far as it's being halal, there must be no doubt in it. Further than that, that it must be healthy, wholesome food, for nutritious food, food which is beneficial to the body. Not food that only fills the stomach, but there is no benefit, and in fact there is harm in it. That should not be the case. So that is with regard to food and few other aspects that we had discussed. Then it is very important the method of eating. That is also not only what we eat, but how we eat it. That is also. And Allahu Akbar. Like the mushriks of Makkah, they should say that, what kind of a Nabi have you got? He even teaches you how to go to toilet, how to make istinja. Islam is such a religion that has taught the final and last bit of life. How to have relations with one's wife. That is also explained in the hadith. Everything has come so detailed, everything, our deen is so complete. So how, what we must eat also we have been taught, and how we must eat, that also have been taught. I'll mention a few incidents by which we can see. Once we were in Malawi with Hadrat, and the meals were now ready. They said that come, the meals are ready. When we went there to the room, so they had one sheet spread. On the sheet was all the plates also, and the sitting was also on this, going, it had to be on the same sheet. So Hazrat asked, where is the dasturkhan? And this is, I'm mentioning all this because many of us who are not aware, and we haven't seen the proper way, we make these mistakes. Many places they just put one sheet down, the plates, the food, and you must sit also all on. So there is no dasturkhan. So Hazrat asked, where is the dasturkhan? I can't sit like this. Then Hazrat instructed me, fix up everything, and Hazrat went back to his room. Then we put everything, and the dasturkhan, and then the plates on the dasturkhan, the food will come on there, and we cannot sit on the dasturkhan. That is a very important aspect. Once we were at Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali's place in Durban, Hazrat was there, and the room that Hazrat was in had a green carpet. And the dasturkhan was also green color. Hazrat finished eat, and after that I went forward with a dish and a jug to let Hazrat wash his hands. And I put my leg on the dasturkhan. Hazrat actually got like a person who got shocked, like a heart attack you get. Like that. Hazrat said, how can you put your leg on the dasturkhan? And immediately Hazrat said, jis par peer nahi baith sakta hai, us par pair kaise rakh sakte hai. On which even the peer cannot sit on the dasturkhan. then how can you put your leg on the dastarkhan? The dastarkhan is a shahi takht, a royal platform where Allah's ni'mat, special ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala come down. And we cannot put our shoes, our legs on that dastarkhan also. Many times because we don't know or we are not mindful, we walk carelessly over the dastarkhan. This should never be the case. And where there are places, like downstairs for example now, in the i'tikaf, a jalsa time, an ijtima time, juhr time, lot of people are eating, and the dastarkhan is placed, then at nice intervals, a gap must be left for people to walk across. If we don't leave gaps, we make one long dastarkhan. Now people have to cross, then we make it difficult for them, or inevitably they're going to walk on the dastarkhan. So we should leave those gaps, and when those gaps are there, make use of the gaps. Then don't jump over the dastarkhan also. Don't, one time, Hazrat Maulana Shah Abrar al-Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, one postmaster was having meals with Hazrat. So in the course of the meals, one morsel, lukma, one niwala, fell down on the dastarkhan. So Hazrat told him, pick it up, eat it. That's a normal procedure. So he said, that I can't do, it's beyond me. My dignity, my position is very high. I can't pick up what has fallen out on the dastarkhan and eat it. So Hazrat then explained to him so beautifully and said, if the Minister of Post and Telegraph, Cabinet Minister of the President, Prime Minister, he sends a chocolate for you, and from the chocolate one piece falls down while you're eating, won't you pick it up? He said, definitely, who sent it? The Minister of Post and Telegraph, Cabinet Minister, he sent it. So Hazrat then explained to him, this food Allah has sent for you particularly. And all our food, dana, dana, qatra, qatra pe, naam likhe hue hai. Whoever is, who it's meant for, that person is going to eat. It's meant for him. So Allah sent it for you, and this was for no one else. From Allah for you, in which millions of agents have worked in order to get it to you. The rays of the sun, the winds, the ground, how many people, for those people, for their needs, how many other people, for the food to be transported, the roads, the trucks, the roads have to be built, trucks, millions of agents have worked for to get that one morsel of food to you, and Allah send it for you. And now we just make naat qadri, just throw it like that. We leave the plate dirty. How many times after eating, the plate is left dirty? It's not clean. The plate should be cleaned, unless there is some harmful like oil. Too much, the food was very oily. Now we can't have all that oil, but otherwise we should clean the plate properly. We shouldn't leave anything for shaitan. And also when we leave all this food, now where does it go? It goes into the dishwasher. It goes into the basin. It's washed. It goes into the pipes, it blocks all that. All that oily, greasy stuff blocks all that. No, it should be cleaned properly. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says that whenever the dishes should come back when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ate, I knew exactly in which plate Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was so clean. Nobody's plate was so clean as the plate of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that is, and by cleaning the plate, and licking the fingers after that. That licking the fingers helps tremendously for digestion. One time, Sheikh Abdu was a very great Sheikh of Azhar in Egypt. He was visiting India, and in his travels, he came to Darul Uloom Dioban also. It was the time of Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri, Rahmatullah Ali. They had meals together. So in the process of the meals, the beginning, he told Hazrat Maulana Anwar Shah Kashmiri Rahmatullah Ali that Egyptians eat normally with spoon and fork. So he told him, you also eat with spoon and fork. So Maulana immediately put his hand like this and said, I am eating with a fork. This year a fork has got four thongs, and he said that I am eating with a fork. And my fork is better than your fork in four ways. That firstly, my fork can feel the temperature of the food. Your fork can't feel the temperature. Sometimes the food is very hot and you burn. Tea, sometimes you put it to your, how it burns you. So secondly, my fork can bend also. Your fork can't bend. And sometimes we see people who eat with the fork that can't bend, and how they going after that piece of meat that's going from this side of the plate to that side, they can't get it. It's just moving around. With my fork, I catch it very easily. Thirdly, he said, my fork, if I have to hit my teeth or gums with it by mistake, no pain really. No, it doesn't. But with your fork, it hurts. It hurts a lot. And sometimes blood also will come out. And the fourth thing he said, why I mentioned it here, that my fork, after eating, it gives off a certain fluid, which when I lick it, it digests my food. Your fork can't do that. And I've added three more benefits on there. That my fork, I washed it with my own, myself, before eating, to wash hands is sunnah. So I know I washed my fork, my, your fork, whether it was washed, not washed, who washed it, we don't know. Secondly, my fork is made by Allah. Your fork is made by China, made by Indonesia. And if China made that fork, halfway down the meal it may break also. And the greatest thing of all, my fork is sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Your fork is the tariqah of the dushmans and enemies. Then some people say that when we eat with spoon and knife and fork, we are eating with our hands because we hold it with our hands. And they had a second argument. They say that where has it come in the Quran and Hadith that you can't eat with spoon and fork? So that is a very, very idiotic argument. Quran Sharif has clearly said, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. What Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave you, you follow that. And in the Hadith it comes with so much detail that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to eat with just three fingers. Now try and catch your spoon and fork with three fingers. With these three fingers. Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to lick his fingers after eating. If you eat with spoon and fork, what are you going to lick? When you used your fingers to eat, then you lick it. So there is no doubt that Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it is our, and the best and the real proof for those who accept and want to follow, is our tariqah of our akabir. We see what they eat with their hands, with their bare hands they eat. That is the proper, unless it is something like soup or something like that, then you use a spoon, but otherwise you use your hands to eat. So those are a few adabs. Once we were in reunion with Hazrat, and by Maulana Rashid Buzurg's place, and his house at that time was a little old house, and the room was not very big, and he had invited plenty of people. So all the dastarkhans were laid before time. It was after Juma, and he laid it quite close to one another because the place was there wasn't enough place, and he had lino on the floor, not a carpet. It was a wooden floor, and with that old type of lino that was on top. And he put blankets where you're going to sit and the dastarkhan for the food. You put the blankets to make it a bit soft so it's comfortable to sit. And when we came there, Hazrat saw it and Hazrat started lifting the blanket because the blanket was higher than the dastarkhan. The dastarkhan is one sheet, a plastic or cloth, whatever. So the blanket is going little bit, not much higher. So Hazrat started lifting it and he said, I can't eat, sit higher than the food. The food must be higher than me. I can't be higher than the food. So I told Hazrat that at the moment now it's eating time, everything, we'll sit now. And afterwards you explain in the future. So Hazrat said, don't tell me what to do. I'll do what I want to do and what I have to do. And Hazrat himself started, and Hazrat, his tabiat, like Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mubarak, very like a king's tabiat Hazrat has got. But he sat on that lino, which was for Hazrat a very great mujahada. But he wouldn't go against the adab and etiquette of eating. He would rather take the taklif on himself. But the etiquette and adab of, so that is also very important. Many places we put not only blankets, we put edder downs, godras, or sponge to make it quite nice and comfortable. But that is not right. The food must be higher. And this does not mean now that we put a little platform, a raised platform, so that the food must be higher. No, we must sit down. If we want to make it comfortable, spread the blanket underneath the dastarkhan also. So finally, the dastarkhan will be a little bit higher. And in order to save the carpet, the dastarkhan, which quite a few friends do, which is a very good thing, put a plastic under the dastarkhan. And then put the dastarkhan. So sometimes people mess things on the dastarkhan. Juice gets messed, tea gets, or sometimes even curry. And then if your carpet at the bottom, that will get... So you put a plastic under, so it doesn't go down and mess the blanket or the carpet under. The method of rolling up the dastarkhan is also important. Dr. Hansa of Ladysmith, he explained, you know, when once we were eating together and they started, and they started rolling the dastarkhan, which is commonly done. So he said, no, don't do it that way. He says, take the dastarkhan of the one end and pull it right across to the other end. Because when you roll it, the bottom part now is coming on top, and the dastarkhan is messed in the eating process. So you're messing the whole dastarkhan in the bottom, or you're doubling up the work now. The dastarkhan was only messed on the top now, but by rolling it, you're messing the bottom also. Now double work, they have to clean the top and they have to clean the bottom. And if you pull it across, it's only the inside. The outside is still clean. So that is also important. Then when we sit down to eat, another very important aspect, I'm trying to explain it from practical points of view, and this will again, if we decide to sit down, if we're not going to sit down to eat, it's not even going to apply to us. And to sit down is the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is the greatest. Then there are so many other benefits. It brings humility in a person, not like a proud person today with the dining room chairs that even got hand supports. And Huzur sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, La akulu muttaki'an. I don't incline and eat. Inclining, resting with the back support, with the side supports, like a big lord, we sit down to eat, spend so many hours in eating, etc. One time, the masala comes in Bukhari Sharif also, that if food is ready, Isha, at Isha time, Asha. And namaz, Isha also is ready. Isha is also ready, and Asha, supper is also ready. Then what must a person do? Must he first go for Isha, or must he first have his supper, Asha? So that question comes. So, and the ruling is, you must first eat, and then you go for namaz. So the student said, Hazrat, if namaz jamaat is ready, and we're going to sit down to eat, then how are we going to get jamaat namaz? Jamaat namaz will be over. So Hazrat said, Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ka khana, tumhare bawa jaise khana thora tha. It wasn't like how you people eat. One cause, then another cause, then another cause. There it was, 2-3 khajurs, water, supper is finished. And then you go and you get your jamaat also. And the philosophy behind it is that if you eat first, your worry is your namaz. So your eating, you made it into namaz. Like Hazrat Maulana Shah Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali said, a proper mu'min is 24 hours in namaz. When he finished his fajr, his next worry is my zuhar. So his worry is of zuhar, he's getting zuhar namaz sawab already, he's in zuhar namaz. He's finished his zuhar namaz, his worry is my asr, that my namazes mustn't go. I must, my namazes. So he's worried about, so he's already in asr namaz. So like that is all the time. So if you are eating and we worried of our namaz, jamaat namaz, we are eating, but we're getting sawab of jamaat namaz. And if you go and make namaz first, and your stomach is hungry, and you are hungry, so you're going to be, you make your namaz into food. So don't make your namaz into food, make your food into namaz. So anyway, so when we sit down to eat the food, we must sit down first. Hazrat Maulana Shah Abrar al-Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, and here is again another incident that we should understand. In order to understand practical sunnah, how to apply, see the lives of the buzurgs. The Allah wala, see their lives. From kitab, we won't be able to understand. So, Ma Abrar al-Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali said, the empty plates can be put down, but don't put the food down. Otherwise, according to kitabs, even the dastarkhan must not be laid. You sit down, now you put the dastarkhan, and this was the practice by Maulana Hussein Ahmed Madani Rahmatullah. After that, now you put your dastarkhan, now you put your plates, now you bring your food. But Mahabrar Ansab said, you can put the dastarkhan, put the empty plates, but the food must come after the people have said. And when the people have said, we are in need of the food is not in need of us. So we must sit first, like not like beggars, but like we are in need. We are in need of the food. So we must sit down first. Not like the food must wait for us. We must sit down and we wait for the food. Then the food comes. Then we eat. And when we finish eat, the food must go away first. When the food is gone, after that, then we get up. And not difficult to understand this. Everyone must be knowing the procedure in a courtroom. In a courtroom, all the people sit first, everything, the courtroom is ready. The last person to enter the courtroom then will be the magistrate, the judge. He will come and then they will say, rise in court. And then when he comes, he sits down, then you are allowed to sit down. And when the session is finished, nobody is allowed to leave the courtroom. First the magistrate goes. He has to leave first, then the others, because he is the most important man in that gathering. So he comes last and he goes first. So the food is the most important at mealtime. Not we are not important. The food is important. We are in need of the food. So when we have said we are all ready, then the food must come. And when the meals are finished, when the food, the most important, what we are in need of, that goes first, then we get up. So one time, Hazrat Damat Barakatuhum came at Maulana Hussein Bayat's place, Rahmatullah Ali. It was the first day and Hazrat had tea. After having tea, Hazrat cleaned the cup also with his finger. So I asked Hazrat, yeh is tariqe se? So Hazrat first said, yeh mere taraf se ghulu hai. I'm overdoing things from my side. Then Hazrat said, bhai, dekho, that we are in need of this tea, every namat of Allah. And the plenty of it is made with the little. Drop, drop makes a liter. The one grain of rice makes a kilo of rice. We are in need. Without that one grain, you won't get a kilo. Without one drop, you won't get a cup of tea, you won't get milk, you won't get anything. So and a person who makes qadr of that little, Allah Ta'ala gives him plenty. And we have seen, and many people have seen, those people who don't appreciate Allah's ni'mat. For example, they are hungry. They'll beg for you for bread or something. You give them half a loaf of bread, they eat 3-4 slices, their stomach is full. They don't just leave the balance of the bread. They don't just throw it away, they kick it away. And a person who does this with Allah's ni'mat, Allah kicks him away. That person, the whole world can send aid for such people. But that person will always be in need. And a person who makes qadr of Allah's ni'mat, then Allah Ta'ala will give that person plenty and give him wonderful rozi also. Before eating, we are quite negligent in this also. In fact, what to say? Forget, once we went to a jalsa, Hifz Khatam jalsa, and a good madrasa. After we finished, it was one of the smaller madrasas. After now the jalsa was finished, it was Zohar we made, we are going to have lunch at the same place. So they brought the dastarkhan, so I said washing hands. They had no facility for washing hands. And then I told, I have to wash hands. I can walk till wherever it is. How the trouble they had to go through to make the arrangement. In other words, in a dini madrasa also, that consciousness is not there that we must wash hands. And all going to eat, we gave da'wah, we have made the arrangement for meals, but there isn't facility to wash hands. So that is very important, the washing of hands. Washing of hands before eating, scientifically, which the hakims have explained, one great hakim Chohatai, has written a whole kitab, Sunnat-e-Nabawi or Tib-e-Jadid. And he has proven every sunnat from modern science, that modern science, exactly what the sunnat is, that is what they are proving today. Sanurihim ayatina fil afaq wa fi anfusihim hatta yatabayyana lahum annahul haqq. Allah says we will show them our signs. And today they are seeing all the signs. So they write in there, the greatest antiseptic antiseptic is water. When a person washes his hands with water, the germs which are all the time everywhere. And that is why it is sunnah not to dry the hands before eating. Leave your hands wet. So that is the greatest antiseptic and deterrent for germs to enter with your food. With regard to water being such an antiseptic, Hakim from Hardoi, who is there now? Qari Hakim Amir Hassan. His name was also Amir Hassan. Hakim Amir Hassan, he was in India first, then he migrated, he went to Pakistan. I'll just tell you a few of his little incidents, which are quite humorous also, but full of lesson also. When he was in India, he had his matab, his practice surgery. And opposite him was a missionary hospital. Missionary hospitals, many used to come from Europe, France, England, and they could run their hospital very in a top fashion because their money was coming from overseas. He was a poor Hakim. So he should make dua to Allah. He was a madzub type of a person. Madzub type of a person, it's not choice to become bayat also to such a person, not to listen to him and not to object to his things. Because he thinks, he acts and does things which are even sometimes against Sharia. But he's on a different level. He's excused, he's marfu'ul kalam. He's not responsible for his actions. So he should make dua that, Ya Allah, in whoever's taqdeer is shifa, send them to me. And whoever's taqdeer is maut written, send them to the hospital. Because if they go to the hospital maut, their income, their rosy, no problem. Their money comes from Europe all the time. Whether who lives or who dies. If my patients all die, nobody will come to me. If my patients live, they will come. Then he used to give injection, and he used to, this is, I wanted to, on this I remember his instances, he used to give injection also, he was a hakim. And as an antiseptic, to sterilize his injection, he had a lota with all dirty water which he never changed. And he used to sterilize it in that water. And he should give the injection through the clothes. You got a jacket, you got a jersey, you got anything. Through the clothes he should give injection. But he was madzub, his contact is, all his patients should get shifa. And those who should go to hospital, they have to build mortuaries there. So many die there that they need mortuaries there. And yet they should get shifa. When he went to Pakistan afterwards, conditions changed and he went to Pakistan. There he was without job, he didn't have any work. And he took on a job as a delivery man. On his bicycle, he used to deliver blocks of ice. Now hot, hot summer's day and riding with that and uphill, how difficult it is. So he made dua to Allah. He said, Ya Allah, I'm a human being, but the work of a donkey has been taken from me. Once he was traveling with our chef, and they went to the hill stations of Mari, beautiful hills, they cool places, were up in the mountains. And he was next to the driver, and he was a person who used to exclaim his nara, Allah, Allah, Allah. He had a habit like that. So he was sitting next to the driver, and he came in his mood, and Allah, Hazrat called him right to the back. And he told him, just now the driver will go, you don't know what happened here, what's this sudden sound? And you, me, and the whole bus, with all of us, will be down that deep valley just now there. So you come sit by me. Once he was sitting by Hazrat, he was the murid of Hazrat Maulana Abrar al-Hadsab, rahmatullah alayh. And Maulana Abrar al-Hadsab, those who know, what a sanjida person, what a person of like principle, and he sat right in front of Hazrat. And Hazrat just started his khutbah, alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasuhu, finished his khutbah, and he, Allah, Allah, Hazrat told him, go and sit right at the bed. My whole subject I forgot now. The way you shouted your nara, now I don't know, my subject I had forgotten. Anyway, so water is the greatest antiseptic, water. So we wash our hands before. Another thing is, very, very sadly, to experience it for yourself. I haven't been downstairs, but when people sit today for iftari, or try and recall Seri this morning, or last night's supper that we had, that did you hear anyone say Bismillah? Bismillah is one of the very basic things, but nobody really, very, very few people read Bismillah when we eat. Where we forget it, how we forget it only, and we all take it for granted, 100% I read. If you have to ask anyone, you read? You say, yeah, I read. But just think, did we read? And we don't read Bismillah. And Bismillah's fazilat, Allahu Akbar. In Tafsir Burhan, in one tafsir, it has come that when a person reads Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Allah Tubarak wa Ta'ala immediately builds for him 5,000 palaces in Jannah. And not only 5,000, Just by reading Bismillah, each palace has got 1,000 chambers. The palaces are made of ruby, of pearls. And each palace has got one, each palace of the 5,000, each palace has got, if somebody works this out for me, it will be the ihsan, all the details. But each palace has got 1,000 chambers made of rubies. And each chamber has got 70,000 members, thrones of emeralds. And each member, each throne has got 70,000 carpets of the finest material of Jannat. And on each carpet there is a Hurul Een sitting there. How many there? So the Sahaba asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what are the conditions for this? He said two conditions, to read is Bismillah with conviction and with understanding. With conviction and with understanding. That Allah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, in His name we are starting. And Allahu Akbar, one beautiful dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma bihamdika saraft wa bidhambi atarafd. Oh Allah, it is only in Your praise, because of Your kindness, Your compassion, that I'm walking about, I'm eating, I'm sleeping, I'm doing, and I accept my mistakes. I'm a biggest sinner, Yal. In spite of this, what don't you shower? So if a mu'min, Bismillah must be part and parcel of every action. He says Bismillah, gets up Bismillah, all. And if we read so many Bismillahs, Allah, we can't understand what Jannat is. Wallah, it's beyond our comprehension. And many people think, well, if I just get entry into Jannat, it's also enough. It's not enough. For now it is enough. A person who's not getting a job, and you just give him a job, and you put so much conditions for him, he accepts all because he's desperate for the job. But hardly 2 weeks in the job, 1 week, and he comes, boss, won't you do this for me? Boss, won't you? Now you want upgrade all the time. You are not satisfied with where you are. If a person from one of the villages of South Africa comes to Johannesburg, and he gets placed under somebody's kitchen table to sleep, he is happy, away from the village. I'm in the city of gold here, but it's not a week, then he wants, I can't sleep under the table. I must have my own bedroom now. Now I can't be satisfied with this bedroom. I must have it like this. You want that? So Jannat, they're just the lower stages of Jannah. That also, and now forever you're going to be there. This is the opportunity Allah has given us to get the highest stages of Jannah. So to read Bismillah during meals, at least now and then, occasional, Alhamdulillah. Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr. That food, we can never ever pay for it. When Indian Muslims had just come fresh to South Africa, in the 1880s, right, they started coming. And most of them used to do hawking at that time. So on a Wednesday was a public holiday those days. When the British in many places, they had a public holiday on Wednesdays. The people used to come back to Johannesburg town, and then they should buy their wares again, and for the week go out again. One person had a restaurant here in Diagonal Street in Johannesburg. All should come and sit and eat, have meals there. On a Wednesday, he used to cook biryani. And you just paid 1 shilling in those days. And you can eat as much as you want to. One person, and what a name also he had, Ismail Amto. Ismail Amto came and he paid his 1 shilling and he ate 10 plates of biryani. The owner of the restaurant, one brother one day met me and gave me the names. I forgot. He gave me the names of the owner of the restaurant's name and everything. The owner came, gave him his 1 shilling back. And he said, Bhai, aaj pachi tu paachu mari dukaan ma nokhe auto. Please, you don't come back here again. So, what your 1 shilling, or today, whether you pay 10 pounds or you pay 50 rand or whatever amount, we can never pay the money for that food. For one drop of water, we can't pay. When we buy 1 liter mineral water, and we pay whatever the price, 2-3 rand, whatever, we can never pay for one drop. There's just a barter system. Those people work to pay them for their work. But the commodity for 1 grain of rice, who can ever pay? That biryani that we get in front of us, our Shaykh Damat Barakatum Jazahumullah Khair, Hadrat says that, in the Quran Sharif, Allah told, first, Fadhkuruni, make my dhikr. And afterwards, washkuruli, make my shukr. And yeah, Hazrat explains it practically, that whenever any ni'mat of Allah comes in front of us, your baby, your first child, and how proud a father you are, I got my first child. Or you're a grandfather, your grandchildren, the baby came. Now you enjoy that baby, you want to eat up the baby, you want to kiss the baby from head to toe, you want to lick that baby everywhere. No problem. But first thing, who made those two little cheeks? Who made that small little eyes, the small little lips, all that? Who? First Quruni, think of Allah. Your biryani came in front of you, your samosas came in front of you. Water comes in the mouth the minute you take foods. And there is also Allah's system. If Allah wishes, we'll just now discuss that also. So that food that comes, that biryani, first make Allah's zikr. One, at least say Bismillah. That also we don't say. Like hooligans, like animals. Food came, just get mad on the food. Now 30 days, Roza, Eid's day. How are we going to have before Eid namaz that milk, which is so rich? And then after Eid, we come back as if we forgot we had that milk. Eh? And now we have that breakfast. What a breakfast, not a brunch. It's a whole day's meal. And after Zohar, again lunch. And what a heavy lunch again. How many people, they spew, they bring up on Eid's day. The amount we eat, you gave your stomach rest for 30 days? Gradually. I saw my auntie from India when she came. Eid's day, just nibbling. She says, no, your stomach is not used to it. 30 days it had a different pattern. Slowly bring it. But we go so wildly. When the food comes, we forget Allah's name. We forget who gave us this food. Forget to think who gave us. We just eat it. We just like mad. We without Bismillah. Without washing hands. And also, if that will come, if it has to come. But yeah, now, well, first that we say, we think that this biryani, the rice, basmati rice from Karachi, from Pakistan, how lot people work. The ground was needed. Without ground, then nothing. If it was gold, all our ground, we should think we're so happy. We shouldn't get food to eat. Where we going to enjoy that gold? This ground, sand, what a great namat, which we don't regard as anything. From where anaj grows. And that also, what a system of Allah Ta'ala. Allah says that we send down rain, water, colorless, tasteless, and no fragrance in it, nothing. What else? That's all. Odorless, no smell, And it falls on sand which we regard as useless. فَأَخْرَجْنَا ثَمَرَاتٍ. Then we take out what different types of fruit. Rice we take out, wheat we take out, maize we take out. Just by this Allah's system and what. So think of the qudrat of Allah. And then for that rice, they couldn't just plant the rice. The land had to be prepared first. Tractors were needed. And if you think of the whole tractor industry, what is needed in making a tractor? How many engineers and how many, what people are to design it and all that? Our mind can't work. Then only that rice. Then for the workers to come to work, the worker, if his one child was sick, he tells the boss, I can't come. I have to take my child. That whole family has to be in order. One child got a problem with the school principal, school teacher. And they called the father to the school. He said, I can't come today to work. I have to go to school. I'll come late. I'll come 2 hours late. How many things have to be in order? Then he can come and work. When they all work, they planted. And then after the farmer plants, the Quran Sharif says, أَفَلَا يَنْدُرُ الْإِنسَانُ إِلَىٰ تَعَامِهِ. Why don't insan look at his food? أَنَّا صَبَبْنَا الْمَاءَ صَبَّ ثُمَّ شَقَقْنَا الْأَرْضَ شَقَّ فَأَنْبَتْنَا بِهِ حَبَّ. How Allah has, He sends water down. He makes that ground, that seed, which is a solid seed. The farmer, after planting the seed, if he's a Muslim farmer, I can only make dua. If he's a non-Muslim dua farmer, I keep my fingers crossed. He can't do anything now. Now it's Allah's work. That He make that seed split and make that fine, delicate plant. And who protects it now? Only Allah Ta'ala. And afterwards to bring wheat on it, to bring maize on it, to bring rice on it, all. Whether you get your bananas, your apples, your mangoes, Allah's work only. No, who puts that color in that? Your mango, not one mango, what a variety of mangoes, what a variety of bananas, of apples, what varieties, the color in it, the taste in it, the nutrition, the vitamins in it, or the everything, who has done this? So first Quruni, first think little bit, who has given, make at least read Bismillah. And in between, Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr. Ya Allah, our Shaykh Ahmad Barakatum says that when a child, it's very naughty, small, the terrible chew, put paraffin into the flour, mix the oil, achar, masala, put that into the rice, mixed up everything. Now eating time, Amma, where's the food? I want my food, I'm hungry. Amma will give one slap first. You made so much work for me. You did all this. First you go and clean up that. Then you're going to get food. Ask me for maaf first. We do so much wrong to Allah. And how we act with Allah Ta'ala, na'uzu billah, like Allah is a waiter of a hotel. That I want this, give me this, bring me this, bring me that. Like na'uzu billah, Allah is our slave. And when Allah doesn't give us, what's wrong with Allah? Why doesn't He give me this? Why is He giving me this problem? As if Allah is our slave. We forget we are the slaves of Allah. And such sinful, and such unappreciative, and such bi-qadr, na-qadr slaves we are of Allah. So first, how much, Hadrat say for us, it's wajib to make tawbah first, before we come and sit on before we eat. And Allah, what ni'mat. So Allah gives us from all four sides His ni'mat. So eating adab also, very, very important. Once we were traveling from Beira, we went to Shimoyu in Mozambique. And the road where it was under construction, it was a terrible road. When we reached there, I was totally exhausted. And we reached there exactly, I just went toilet, made wuzu, and we went in the masjid, and takbir started. I told our friends, today I'll never be able to make bayan, I'm not making. You people make, they say, no, never, that can't happen. You have. So I said, today I'm not going to make bayan, just adab of eating I will speak. There was a Jamaat from India also. No, on Salam I spoke, just on Salam. After that they came, I was surprised. I thought, now you're so tired and we couldn't talk. They appreciated it so much. They say, all these things we never knew about it, about Salam, basics, about food, really, the basic things of food, of eating. We are big, big muftis and maulanas and everything, sheikhs and everything, but the basics of food is still not in our life. What to eat, how to eat it, how to appreciate it, and yet we regard ourselves very good Muslims we are, very pious, but the very basic things we are still very, very negligent about. These things have to come right, then we become insan. Hadhrat Maulana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali say, Muslim you'll become afterwards. First at least become insan. We are hardly insan still. And we forget being Muslim and Mu'min, that is afterwards. So may Allah teach us these. So these are the things that we should learn and apply. And there's still much more, time is very little. And there's much more that we have to know about the basics of eating and Allah's system. The little we know, a person makes amal, Allah will teach the others. Allah will make the intizam that we learn the others. And we learn everything and we don't make amal, even this we forget. So even this few points that we managed to mention today, make amal on them and see how Allah will bring us. And if a person learns to eat properly, then that is one of the fundamental. We learn to sleep properly. Then see the rest of the life will come right. When your basics are not right, your foundation is not right, then all the other things, how can they come right? Even your ibadat, etc. First is your food. Your food must be right. Then your iman can be right. Then your ibadat and your muamalat can be right. When food is not right, and every teaching of deen, sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not for akhirat only. First it is for dunya, to give you a good proper life in dunya, a quality life, a cultural life filled with culture and filled with values. That is the first year in this dunya. Then the sawabs will come in akhirah. But first, yeah, may Allah give us all tawfiq and let us learn our basics of deen and every aspect of deen and tawfiq to make amal. وآخر دعوانا.